Well, this is a good night, and one of the things that I most appreciate about this night is that I get to see some kids who grew up at Rock Valley Bible Church come back, and some of them are surprising. The Reets, it's good to see Nathan, and good to see Becca, and Becca's married, and Nathan's married, that's wonderful, and the Hook boys, see you there, and I'm trying to think who else did I run into. I'm not trying to miss you, but I know that my children are back. SR was up here on the drums. That's wonderful. And Hannah and Derek are back. Is there anyone I missed? I didn't see Anna. Anna Krause. Anna. Gage is here. Yeah, I saw him last week. Thanks, Gage. Anyone else I missed? It's a joy as a pastor to see kids that I knew when they were small and born and growing up and getting married and someday kids, family, and disciple them as well. So it's my great joy tonight. So I just want to open the Word for us even this evening. I know you probably don't have a Bible or you can't read it because it's dark tonight, the only time of the year that we have a dark audience. The essence of the Christmas story, though, comes in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It's what the angel said to Joseph when he found out that Mary was pregnant. The angel said, you can read it right there on the screen, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Christmas story is about a miraculous baby who came on a mission. The mission is one of salvation, to save his people from their sins. And that's what we sing about. That's why we rejoice this Christmas Eve. Just consider some of the songs that we sang this evening. "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee." It's just salvation right there. Come and free us from our fears and our sins. "O little town of Bethlehem, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." Talk about the rebirth, right? Cast out our sin. Come into our lives. Make us be born again. "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth, the one who's going to come and save. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Sinners can only be reconciled with God when their sins are wiped away and forgiven and cleansed. Christmas songs are filled with the hope of redemption, and that's what fills our Christmas with joy, because this child that's born in a manger in Bethlehem has come to save us from our sins. Just think about it. Would we be rejoicing today if God came to earth but didn't save us from our sins? Like some great being that came and wowed us with his wisdom and wowed us with his miracles of healing, but then left us as we were? There'd be no rejoicing in that. All that we would have is this nostalgia from ancient days when God came and dwelt with us, but with nothing for us today other than this distant memory of this great God who came and dwelt among us for a while. But there is something for us today, because what Jesus accomplished when he was on earth is long-lasting. He's come to save us from our sins, and we're saved as we believe and we trust in Christ. In him alone, he washes away our sins. But I want to ask you this question even tonight. Why? Why did Jesus come to save us? I mean, the purpose, yes, was to save us from our sins, but why did he have this heart's desire to save us from our sins? You know, I have a few grandchildren now who are old enough to know that that question, why, goes back and back and back. Well, why? 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 Why did Jesus come? To save us from our sins. Why did he save us from our sins? And this is the deeper reality, is because he had his people. If you look there at that very last phrase, he will save who? It's his people from their sins. And for those of us at Rock Valley Bible Church, for the last 3 weeks, we have been considering these two words, His people. God has His people. He has a love for His people. It's why He came to earth. Our sermon series this Christmas time has been entitled, I Will Be Your God and You Will Be My People. And this theme, I've tried to argue, covers all of biblical history. And hopefully as you read your Bible this year and think about it, you'll see this theme throughout the Scriptures. It begins with Abraham in Genesis. When His people were established, the Jewish people, God said to Abraham, I will establish My covenant between Me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. And here it is, to be God to you and to your offspring after you, that I will be your God. And in the Exodus, we just continue from Genesis to Exodus. The people were in slavery. God redeemed His people, the Jews who were in slavery. Remember what Moses said to Pharaoh? Let My people go. Because God had established a covenant with them to be their God and they would be His people. Later, God said to the people of Israel, if they would only obey, I will walk among you and will be your God and you shall be My people. Leviticus 26, verse 12. This was the hope of the Jewish people, that God would be their God and that they would be His people. But they sinned and failed to keep God's law. Like all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They needed something new. They needed something better. And it was the new covenant that came through the mouth of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out to the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I'll put My law within them, I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know Me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. It's why Jesus came. It's why He brought in the new covenant to dwell with us, to die for our sins, that He might forgive them, that He might remember our sins no more, and to send His Spirit to empower us and in our hearts to believe and obey and walk with God in His ways. Why is this? It's all towards this aim, that I will be their God and they will be My people. And on Sundays at Rock Valley Bible Church, past Sunday, like 2 days ago, we consider how this all came to be to pass to whoever believes in Jesus today experiences that. The promise to Israel comes to all who believe in Jesus today. As Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 8, it's those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And this evening, I want us even to consider how everlasting this promise is. We've seen Genesis, we've seen Exodus and the law, we've seen God redeeming people, we've seen the new covenant come, we've seen it in Jesus, and now we think about the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, which speaks about history. It chronicles for us what will be in the end. And listen to what we read at the beginning of Revelation 21. After Jesus secures the victory, after He judges all evil, after He judges all those who refuse to repent, then He establishes His new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, that's this right here. The first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem coming. This is heaven pictured in Revelation. And then comes this verse in Revelation 21, verse 3. I want you to listen for it. Think about this is future, this is eternity, and see how Christmas weaves its way into eternity. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. The first pronouncement, when the new heaven and the new earth comes, and the new Jerusalem comes, the promise is this, is that the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. This is when the new heaven and the new earth comes in all of its perfection. Just the next verse, Revelation 21, verse 4 says this, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. When the new heaven and the new earth come, there's going to be perfection. No more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. And the great reality is that we'll dwell with God forever. We'll dwell with God as His people. I want you to think this morning about the experience of Christmas. Those who experienced it fully were the shepherds who came and saw the baby in the manger just as the angel, the heavenly host, had told them. The full experience was Mary and Joseph, who had like a front row seat. The full experience was for the disciples who were able to walk with Jesus and talk with Him and see Him and hear Him and watch the miracles. The full experience was those who were healed of their sicknesses by the incarnate Jesus. Our experience of Christmas 2,000 years later is only secondhand. We only get it what we have heard. Listen, but there'll be a day when the Christmas experience that we as believers in Christ have will be far better than what the shepherds had, or what Mary and Joseph had, or what the disciples, or those who were healed, or anybody that encountered Jesus. The experience and glory for those who've placed Christ as their Lord and following Him will be this. The dwelling place of God will be with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Our experience of God dwelling with us forever in a perfect, sinless environment where our communion with Him is perfect and complete. God will be our God. We will be His people forever. I mean, Christmas is wonderful. It speaks about how God dwelt with us. But Jesus dwelling with us at Christmas time was only a foretaste of what future glory will be like in this dwelling in where Revelation 21 describes. But did you notice a difference about this dwelling? At Christmas time, Jesus took on flesh to be like us, so He could dwell with us on earth. But at the end of time, if you know the book of Revelation, you know the promise of the second resurrection, God will transform us so that sin is removed, and we can go and dwell with Him in the perfect new heaven and new earth. It's not so much God coming to us going to God as His people. And that's where history is headed, where we can dwell with God just like He dwelt with us. And in that day, there'll be great joy. The next song we're going to sing is Joy to the World. Really, we sing at Christmas time. It's really not a Christmas hymn. It's really a song of Revelation 21. When Jesus comes and conquers and rules the world, far as the curse is found, nor more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Right? Reverse the curse. When the Lord comes, the curse will be reversed. It'll only be the blessing of God upon us. When we see that our God, He is our God, and we are His people. So I just really encourage you to reflect upon Christmas. It's a foretaste of what's coming in glory, but it's only coming for those who believe and trust in Jesus, who escape the judgment of God because they've been sheltered in the cross of Christ, who is their refuge. I trust that's your refuge today. If not, flee to Him and just say, you know what? I want that full Christmas experience you can have someday by resting in Him. Well, we're going to sing Joy to the World. I'm going to call the musicians on up. We're going to sing Joy to the World. I want you to think about how it's a culmination of Revelation 21 when Christ comes as far as the curse is found. And as we do so, we are going to light the candles. I'm going to light the first candle from the Christ candle. I'll go around to light a few.